Of you who've been here for any length of time know that we've become aware of and somewhat connected with a ministry in Alaska, CACO Retreat Center. And our young people have been helping out there for a number of years. And this past year, Curtis was able to go there not just for the 6 weeks of camping alone, but for an extended period. And my intention was, soon after he came back, to have him share with us. It would be fresh to him and fresh to us praying. Didn't work out, but I'm glad it's working out today. And so, Curtis, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Would you like this moved from here?
I'm just going to be right up here. So
okay, very good. Good.
Might be good if we could maybe close some of the windows. Just a little dark. Okay. Is this on? Okay. Perfect. All right. I'm going to start off by reading from Isaiah 49. You can turn there if you want, but I'll be reading it as well. So, and I want to start in verse 7. So Isaiah 49, verse 7. This is what the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, says to one who is despised, to one abhorred by people, to a servant of rulers. Kings will see and stand up, and princes will bow down, because the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. This is what the Lord says. I will answer you in a time of favor, and I will help you in the day of salvation. I will keep you, and I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land, to make them possess the desolate inheritances, saying to the prisoners, come out, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They will feed along the pathways, and their pastures will be upon all the barren heights. They will not hunger or thirst, the scorching heat or sun will not strike them, for their compassionate one will guide them, and lead them to springs of water. I will make all my mountains into a road, and my highways will be raised up. See, these will come from far away, from the north and from the west, and from the land of Sinim. Shout for joy, you heavens. Earth, rejoice. Mountains break into joyful shouts, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. I just love, as I'm going through pictures and kind of remembering my time there, I love every time he mentions the 4 points of the compass, the north, south, east, and west. And I also just think of other missionaries we support in, you know, places like Africa and, you know, farther east and west. And it's just amazing to see how God is working even in the farthest reaches of the four corners of the earth. Sometimes it can feel pretty remote out there, especially when I think towards the end we got down to like 6 or 7 people. So at camp, it was very remote, very lonely at times, but just to see God's continuing work there. So before I start, my name's Curtis. I think I see some newish faces from last time. So I guess that would have been over a year now since the last presentation. So I'm kind of going to try and balance it between, I know a lot of you have seen this before, and a lot of you haven't seen it before. So I'm going to go through some of this maybe a little bit familiar information, just kind of the CACO history, but I guess it'll be a refresher for those of you who don't remember from last time. So just a little bit about CACO and the history of the camp. CACO's a retreat center for primarily their main focus is the summer camp for the kids. So we bring in 8 is about the youngest that they'll bring in to 18. And over a 6-week period, you bring them in for a week. It's age groups. So they'll have elementary, junior high, teen week. Bring them in. It's a Bible camp. That's what we advertise it as. And teach them about Christ. We have lots of fun activities and stuff to do, too. There's also 2 other camps that they host. They do just before the summer camps. They have the family camp, which they'll bring in entire families from the villages. And then the ladies' berry picking camp is just after. It's in August. And that's, they'll just bring in wide age range of the ladies, a lot of the elders come into, and kind of have a similar experience that way, just for different groups. Okay, so it was founded back in the 70s, was about when the first one, late 70s, was when the first camp went on. The Hoolies were, they had the idea to make this camp out in kind of just the wilderness. There's no roads or anything out there. But there's a lot of tribes, a lot of villages and stuff out. And you'll see a map here in just a second. So it was the Hoolies that had the idea, but they died in a plane crash actually just the summer before they were going to start the camp. And then Dave Penns, who is good friends with the Hoolies, the family of the Hoolies asked Dave to continue on with the camp, and he died in 2014, but his son is the one who's the current camp owner, CEO of CACO. For those of you who don't know, this might be new for everybody, except I think I've talked to Pastor Jan about this. Jim Buckingham has been the camp director for the past couple years, but he is not going to be camp directing this year. Their family has they're still planning to be very involved with ministry, but they're out in the village of Napakiak actually watching. Their son is a full-time missionary there, but he's on furlough right now, so they're involved in the ministry in Napakiak. So it'll be a different year this year for sure without them there. Jonathan Penns, who's the CEO and owner, he's going to be kind of more directly involved in leading camp this year, probably delegate some of that power to the different activities directors. But yeah, it'll be different. And there's also been several marriages between people, the staff people, who Tommy and Madeline, you guys know, I think Madeline has come several times, so they got married just a couple months ago. So this will be my first shameless plug for any new volunteers or returning volunteers. We might be a little short-staffed this year, so just throwing that out there. But yeah, so Kyle Stevens, just quickly about him, he's kind of an important figure. He died in 2017 in a plane crash as well, but he was very involved. We actually went to church with him in California before we moved out here to Tennessee and Kentucky area. But yeah, he's a very important figure there because he was the last full-time on-site living at CACO camp director. And then when he passed away, they moved, his wife and child moved out. So now it's just the Penns family living at CACO currently. So this is the area we're kind of looking at. So you have Anchorage over there, and do you know the capital? And then kind of just out in the boonies there is CACO, where the little dot is. And that range is kind of what we're looking at in this map. So the red dot, you can see Russian Mission is a village right next to CACO, but the red dot is approximately where CACO is. And then that's that circle, the outer circle, that's maybe a little bit outside of the range. Well, no, that's pretty good. Yeah, we get campers from Hooper Bay and Stony River. So that's about kind of the area that we will fly kids in and families in from. Yeah, we don't get much down in the south here, but east and west, I think that circle is pretty accurate. So currently, camp staff is just the Penns family. So it's Jonathan and Sharon, and then their two boys, Merrick and Micah. They have a couple seasonal workers that will come in through the winter. Benji, who I think Pastor Dan has met, he's up there right now in the winter helping out because they have lots of stuff to do all year round, but you can really be praying for them because it's tough to be out in the middle of nowhere with no roads, no connections anywhere, and it's just them pretty much. So definitely be praying for them, especially during this winter time. And then this is taken from their website. It's probably a little bit outdated, but roughly those are the numbers as far as people in the serviceable range, and most of those are going to be your native population. So you have your two groups of natives, the Yupik and the Athabascan, is kind of the people groups that they're primarily reaching out to. There's a lot of, and we've talked about this in past years, there's a lot of spiritual darkness. There's a lot, they're very friendly, very welcoming, very kind people naturally, but alcoholism is a big deal for them. There's lots of deaths related to alcohol. There's lots of abuse related to alcohol, so that's a big deal. Substance abuse, so drugs and stuff, have also made their way in. And lots of, again, they're not a violent people naturally, but these things all kind of lead to a culture of abuse that can pop up. So lots of teen pregnancies. We've had, not during my time, but we have had campers come in pregnant, even some of the teens during teen camp. And then the suicide rate is, ethnically, the Alaska Natives have the highest suicide rate of any people group in the nation currently. So the villages, there's no, as a general rule, there's no roads systems between the villages. You have to go by plane or by boat. There's a couple villages that are interconnected, but the highway is that connects to the rest of the U.S. is pretty much just Anchorage and farther south and east of here. So boat and plane are the primary way of getting in. So not all of these pictures are from this year. I took some of the better ones are from other years, but I just wanted to go through some of the villages just to get a glimpse. This is from this year. I finally got a good picture landing kind of downhill. So this is Russian Mission, which is just 5-minute plane flight from Keiko. You can take a boat, which I finally did this year. I was able to boat to Russian Mission, but it's just right down there, and that's where they get their mail and a lot of their supplies and stuff from. So every village has a post office and a school and a runway, or most of them have runways, and then some kind of medical office. So those are more or less government-owned, and then pretty much everything else is just going to be the tribal council being in charge there. That's the medical clinic. And then this is Mountain Village, which is kind of that pink dot over there. That's where that's going to be. This was back in 2021, I believe. And then Holy Cross is a little bit farther out. Got to go there. This is from this year. And then that's Keiko. So Keiko's kind of like a mini village. It has its own runway, so we have the planes that go in and out and get the campers. And then we got our houses over here. And then this is the, can you see that? Yeah, the mouse. This is the cabins where the kids stay during the summer camp. And also, I forgot to mention, if you guys have questions, just go ahead and raise your hand. I know it's kind of there's a lot of pictures, and we're going through a lot of information. So if you have a question, feel free to raise your hand. But I'll also ask for questions at the end if you guys would like. By plane or boat, plane or boat, yeah. But boat is mostly they travel inter-village. That's mostly what they're going to be doing with the boats. But for us, we mostly use planes. Yeah. So Keiko's got 8 houses for the staff, 8 cabins, the main lodge where we kind of do everything. They got their hangars, a bunch of shops. So it's pretty much a self-contained little mini village out there in the middle of nowhere. So normally my journey starts going to Seattle, go to Anchorage, get your last McDonald's, your last Starbucks, any of your favorite processed foods before you head out to the bush. And then Bethel is kind of the hub. So down there, kind of a little bit farther south from Russian Mission. So this is like the biggest village in this circle area right here. So that's the last place you can get a flight to from Alaska Airlines. Anything else you'll have to take, like a private plane or charter or something to get out there. So it's pretty big as far as, I almost wouldn't even call it a village much anymore. It's more of a town or a city. But this is where they'll go if they need to go to the there's a hospital here or dentist or anything. They'll take a flight from the village. If they can't fix it at the little village clinic, they'll head over to Bethel. That's kind of the big city in the area. Here's some $8 pomegranates for sale. The prices are pretty crazy out there, especially the further out you get. So that's the Keiko plane. That's all our luggage packed up, ready to go to head out to camp. So I was, this year, as you guys know, I was gone for a lot longer than normal. So I got there a little bit earlier than I normally do, just a couple, actually right at the end of family camp, and then stayed through, you know, the rest of the couple months. So we were able to get some moose legs processed. We had like 12 legs of moose, and that was kind of our food for the summer and through and autumn kind of. So that's a very interesting process. I've never processed moose before, but it was kind of fun to learn how to do that. Yes. That's actually a good question. I assume that's just the best part is the legs, because it's very, I mean, they're big. Moose are very large animals. So, but there's also like a ton of them out there. So you can get a moose pretty easily, especially in the winter. So I assume if that's the best part, then they kind of just want to get that and then leave the rest for the bears and stuff. So, yep. So this is the schedule. It's Monday through Friday for the kids. So the kids will arrive on Monday, weather permitting, and then Tuesday, Thursday's full days, and then they fly out on Friday. And then the weekend we get for work projects, hikes up the mountain, you know, I'm mostly sleep or just kind of rest. maybe if I was a little bit younger in my teenage years, I would have gone on a hike or a canoe, something. I don't know. But mostly I just sleep now. So camp activities, Bible times. So there's two Bible times a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. Basketball, archery, swimming, kind of all your basic summer camp stuff that you would get to do down in the lower 48. But they don't really have a lot of these things, especially the rappelling tower and the zip line and all that, is pretty foreign to them. They don't really get a chance to do that outside of camp, so it's very exciting for them to be able to come. This is, I don't know if you can see, this is the Yukon right here. And we had a lot of flooding this spring, which I'll talk about a little bit later, was kind of some of the stuff we did after camp. So none of this water is supposed to be here. This is all flooding from just the ice flows. And, it was pretty bad. I've never seen it that bad before. It's supposed to be there, and it was all over here. We got I finally brought my Tennessee flag this year, so we did a Iwo Jima style, raising the flag on top of the mountain. That was pretty fun. So we do, before camp starts, we try and get staff in a couple days before at least to kind of do some team building, get to know each other, hikes up to the cross, which I think you'll be able to see. It's kind of at the top of the valley. There'll be some pictures later, I'm sure. But, this is kind of up there. So week one is elementary. So I had five guys, that's Paul on the left, Eldon, Griffin in the camo, Austin, and Rex. And I'll have a couple pictures later about this topic, but it's always fun to see, and I was thinking about this last night, I think it's been, I guess this will be 7 years since my first time at Keiko, so it's really fun to see the repeat campers who come back over the years, and they have really good memories too. So these, this is Austin and Eldon, and they were in Mitchell's cabin a year ago. And the first thing they always ask is, where's Mitchell? Is he coming back? Or Eldon said that used to call Mitchell his boss. So Mitchell was boss one, and I was boss two during that week. He, all throughout the week, I was boss number two because Mitchell was still his number one. So they remember people. They are very happy to see you know, their favorite counselors or staff come back. So they're all looking forward for Mitchell to come back this year, hopefully. But we had a good time. This is Monday, so we're kind of just chilling, hanging out. There's not much to do on Monday. There's a Bible time in the afternoon, so we kind of just have fun, play cards, kind of just hang out, start to get to know them a little bit. It's a little bit blurry, but we try and take a picture at the cross every week. So this is the elementary, first elementary. Capture the flag is always a big hit with the kids. They love going around, running around, getting muddy. This year, it was definitely a muddy year. I always say how it switches off between dry and muddy. It was very rainy, lots of mud. So this is the rappelling tower. It's kind of a really good exercise in trust. A lot of them are very scared to go over. Some of them just go right away. But getting them to learn to trust the rope, it's actually a really good kind of spiritual analogy for trusting in Jesus, even when things are scary, kind of making that leap of faith. There's some great conversations that have started on the rappelling tower. So this is Bible time. This is upstairs in the lodge. Everyone with their cabins there, or most of the cabins are there, I think. And then down by the runway, we sometimes get out to do some Bible times out there. It's fun to get them outside a little bit and do some fires and s'mores and stuff. So this is Friday on the first week, and then week two, I just had four. So normally you get five, six, sometimes seven campers. So this week was a little bit, that shouldn't be there. Not, okay, well, this is the wrong list. But this is Ethan, Isaiah, Dre, and Peyton. Those are my four campers. So we do skits. I think this was David and Goliath, I'm pretty sure. They love getting up and acting. Sometimes they're a little bit nervous at first, but it's fun to see them get out of their shells and act out there. This is carpet ball. If you haven't played it before, it's really popular at camp. They all love playing carpet ball. And it's a great hangout spot to just start conversations and make some new friendships. So this is Denali. So there's four guy cabins, four girl cabins. So you'll have about 50 campers if it's, five per. Generally, they shoot for five per cabin, and there's four cabins. But sometimes they'll go for six or seven campers per cabin. So this is, it's always sad to say bye. I mean, you get to know them really well over just those couple days. It's an intense time, and there's lots of stuff to do, sometimes scary stuff like the rappelling tower, so you really get to bond with them over just those couple days. So it's always sad to see them go. This one I had six this week. I think these three had come. Actually, I think all of them had come before. Not all of them have been in my cabin before, but there we are doing Bible time. Pretty well behaved, sometimes not all the time, but there's the girl cabin. So that's Mrs. Buckingham over there on the left. She's Mr. Buckingham's wife, and he was the camp director this year. I don't think he's in the picture, though. So this is Rappelling Tower. That's the staff. This is Sharon right here, so she's the camp director's wife. Jonathan is, he'll be flying, and he'll be doing a lot of office work, so he doesn't get out to interact very much with the kids and staff during the summer camp, because Sharon will be able to get out a little bit, but she's got to take care of the kids, and then between the two of them, they have to run all the behind-the-scenes stuff of camp, so paperwork, taxes, all that kind of stuff is them, and it's, as I found out after camp, which we'll get into in a little bit, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of paperwork, and it's a lot of physical work. So kind of a miracle that they've been able to keep it up as long as they have and do so well at it. that's the pond. They love water, all things swimming and getting wet and getting in canoes and all that kind of stuff. They just love that. This is week four, so this is the second elementary camp, and I got to counsel Paul, who is the camp director's son, and I think some of you may have met him at, he was here at Alyssa and Josh's wedding, so he was in my cabin, and then, yeah, Austin and Stefan were, again, I got a lot of Mitchell's campers kind of left over from last year, so they would all ask where Mitchell was. And Tommy as well. Tommy was another popular ask for counselors. This is Monday, so we get our name tags and our cabin assignments. This is probably in between flights when they come into to camp. Everyone's making their name tags. It's another Bible time. That's Elisha's cabin. I think he has been here before as well. Five guys. That's on top of the mountain. So you can see this is kind of the top of the valley, and then there's in the background, that's the runway for the Keiko runway, and then Russian Mission is kind of over these mountains, or over these hills just right there, and that's the Yukon River right there. I wish Miss Homiak was here, because this is her... this was her brainchild, is the little rubber band bracelets, and they got there during this week, the second elementary week, and they absolutely loved them. They were up like all night making the little bracelets and stuff. So yeah, we almost ran out, and that was just, it was this week and then teen week. The teenagers loved making the bracelets, and then the junior high loved making the bracelets. So, there were two of those big cartons, and they were pretty much gone by the time those 3 weeks was over. So, yeah, they love those things. I think this may have been 4th of July. I know we decorate. Well, no, that was during teen week, but Father's Day and 4th of July are normally during this time, so we kind of decorate and celebrate for that. So there's only one teen week, but it's a really good time because they're older and they're able to engage more. There were a couple repeat campers from, I don't know if you guys remember from that time a couple years ago where there were many professions of faith, lots of lives given to Christ. So there were, I don't think any of these guys, maybe Truth was there, but in other cabins there were campers who had come back from that, and it's really good to see those repeat campers still continuing in their faith and walking that way. So, yeah, teen week's one of my favorites for sure. It's a good time. So this is rappelling. They love the two sports that they are really into are wrestling and basketball. So those are pretty vital skills, if at least if you're a guy counselor. Wrestling and basketball are good things to catch up on. And then the mullet is like back in style. I don't know if you can see, but that's for, I just put that in for my dad. The native style is, they're bringing it back. Maybe it'll make its way back down here eventually. This is Bible time. So they each got their own, Bible this year, which was great. We've still been using some, again, Miss Homiak was, very supportive with all that, sending Bibles up there. So, no shortage of Bibles this time, which was awesome. So they all got to take one home. And they love frogs, too. Even the teens, they'll be out there on the pond catching the little tadpoles and stuff. Okay. Yeah, basketball this year, we haven't really had it as an activity in the previous years, but we made it an activity, and that was very popular. That was kind of one of Kyle's... dreams. One of his final visions was to get a wooden basketball court like they have in a lot of the villages. So we've flattened this area out with dirt, but at some point in the future, they're wanting to make some kind of court or gym or something kind of in memoriam to remember him by that way. It's another cabin. And this is week six. So I had five guys this time. And this is junior high is the last one. So that's a zip line, goes over the pond. And then this was built, I think in 2017 was the first year. 2016 or 2017. So it's been around for a few years, and it's been running really good. Homemade zip line. This was fun. The cabin times at night are always a great time. You get to, generally, you're just in there with your cabin. For this picture, this is me and Elisha kind of combined for the night. We had some singing. I played my viola. We did some hymns and just some songs and had a snack party, as you can see. But, yeah, evening times is when a lot of the good conversations happen. We talk about what we learned during the day, during the two Bible times, and then they just have a lot of great questions. I mean, just all up and down the Bible. And, yeah, there's some really good spiritual conversations that come of those Bible times in the evenings. That's the lunch line. That's Ellen, the cook. We're really hoping she's able to come back next year because that's a pretty important part of camp, is feeding all 50 kids and then all the staff. And then that's us on the right there. Bible time. This was cool. We got to go up on the cross mountain and have a Bible time up there. That's Mr. Buckingham. So he was the camp director this year, Jim Buckingham. And then this is the last, I think, Thursday night, last skit night. And this was our last meeting. There's weather dependent. A lot of flights actually this year got canceled or moved or rescheduled. So generally you want to get the kids in on Monday and leave on Friday. But this year, with just how wet and stormy it was, so this was Friday. They're normally supposed to be, this was Saturday. They're supposed to be gone by this time, but there were a couple of villages that just got rained out, so they had to stay over an extra day. And sometimes we have to get them in Sunday evening if it looks like the weather's not going to be good on Monday. So this is packing up. The airports are... if you see the little tote, that's like the Alaskan luggage piece right there. You'll see all in Bethel, all the natives, they'll use the totes for their luggage. But you can really pack that thing up pretty full. This is just a little comparison for a couple campers. This is Melvin. So I had him in my cabin, I think that was 2018. And then he came back in teen week this year. So really cool to see him come back again. This is Isaiah. He's been coming for a long time. His dad actually worked on staff at Keiko for a while, and then they moved out to one of the villages. So he's been in and around Keiko for a long time, known him for, met him in 2017 during my first year, and he was in my cabin this year. And then this is Nathan. He's one of the ones who got saved during the revival that happened that one year. So that's him. He's in my cabin. I think that's 2018 as well. And then that's this year. He's actually pretty good at viola. I didn't know that. Or violin. I think he learned on violin and then he's played my viola. So, and this is the staff. So that's, this is Jonathan and Sharon right here. And then Merrick and Micah are their two kids. So they're the ones that live out there full time. I don't think Benji is in this photo, but he is one of the workers who's out there a lot. He kind of is more or less living out there now, too. So it's kind of the five of them up there. So this is the part that was new for me. I'd done all that stuff before many years. 2017 was my first year. But staying afterward was very new. I'd never been for berry camp or any of this stuff. So that's Napakiak on the left. So I got to stay a night there with the Buckinghams, and that's where they're staying with their watching the house for their missionary son who is in full-time in Napakiak. And that is the boat that they're watching, too. We got to boat from Napakiak into Bethel. So that is Bethel. got to go down to a wedding in Palmer, so I saw Josh and Alyssa there. There's your Josh and Alyssa pictures. They're doing good. Had a good time seeing them. And then headed back to Keiko. So I was in Palmer for about a week and then headed back up. And it was very weird to go from all the kids, all the staff and everything, and then you go to the big city, Palmer, and you got all your stores and everything, and then you go back, and it's just the couple of us. So it was the Penzes, and then the Ignite Hope team, which was myself and about five other people. That was for about a week, and then Berry Camp started, and then after that, it's just us. So a couple extra staff people came in for berry picking camp. And this is just an extended weekend. I think it's just Friday to Monday. And this is the girls' takeover camp. So the guys are kind of supposed to be out of sight, out of mind. And then the ladies come in, and this is their time to shine. So they, a lot of these staff members have been coming back just for berry camp for a number of years now. So these are all, obviously, I did not take these pictures because I was not allowed in the lodge during this time. So, but it was a great time of, from what I heard, it was really a great time of fellowship for the ladies. This was the speaker, guest speaker who came. I think she's from New York. So staff coming in from a lot of different places. Jamie, she was on the team. She's from Colorado. Melody's from New York as well. So kind of all over the U.S. to come help out at the camps. Some of the sunsets were really pretty. That's the mountain with the cross. So this is camp. And then every Wednesday with the kids during summer camp, we would kind of hike up to the cross there. And then morale is kind of a big thing for when you're when there's just 10 or fewer people in the camp, and it's months at a time when you're going without much other human contact. So we try and do little fun things. This was our Thanksgiving in August, I guess, party, and we had a chicken. Pretty lean, not much of a Thanksgiving turkey, but it worked. The pie was really good. So during this time, when the kids weren't there, this is where we transitioned mostly to just the physical and the paperwork side of helping camp out. So this is the barge. They'll get all their major, anything they can't fly in from Bethel or from Anchorage, they'll get via the barge. So this is the new bulldozer, and I think I have a better picture of it here. So their old one is not working too well, and this, they got a really good deal for this one. Up in one of the other villages, so the barge comes down the river, picks it up, and then drops it off at the Keiko Landing. And so this is on the Yukon. That barge right now is on the Yukon. And then this is about a 20-minute four-wheeler ride away from camp. But this whole area got taken out by the ice flows. I think there's better pictures of it a little bit later on. But that was a huge part of what we did after camp, was fixing the barge landing and the fuel tanks, which got taken out to, I mean, they were intact, but they were very dirty, they were messed up. And camp runs, it's completely off-grid, so they need fuel to keep the generator running, to keep the power on. So that was pretty big deal to get the bulldozer at this time, and then we used it later on to help clean up. There were lots of blueberries left, so this is where they pick the blueberries for berry picking camp. The ladies will all come up the mountain. So just in the tundra, you'll see the berries. Blueberries, I think I have a picture of the salmon berries, little mushrooms. That's kind of a cool, didn't expect to find that up in the tundra there. It's a salmon berry. And then that's a cool little thing. I don't know if we have that down here, but the willows, I guess there's a fly that bites off the top of the willow. And then it makes like this little rose thingy on the side. So that's like a willow branch, but it looks like a rose. So I'd never seen that before. It was kind of cool. And then Adrian, this is Adrian the pilot. It was really good to have him come back. So he flew during kids camp, flew kids in and out of camp, and then he went back home and then came back after berry camp. So it was very good morale boost to see another person. And then we got another pilot, because currently Jonathan is the only resident pilot there, one who knows how to fly airplanes and has his pilot's license. So Adrian had his license, which meant, because Jonathan was so busy in the office, we were able to go with Adrian on some village runs to go see kids who had come to Keiko or maybe had come to Keiko in years past and just kind of visit with them, check up on them, which was really good. So this is Russian Mission. Chad has been in my cabin several times. He didn't come this year, but it was good to get out and see him again. And they're always super, super happy to see you, and you come up, and you just kind of have a flock of children that will kind of just come and hang out for as long as you're willing to be there. This is some of the kids we met. And it was really good because a lot of times you're only able to do this once or twice, if that, to get out to the villages during camp because we're so busy setting up for camp and running camp. But we were able to get out to Russian Mission several times. I want to say 3, 4, 5 times, which was really good to just kind of build those connections with the kids there.
Were you able to see their family or
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually were able to, and I think I have a picture maybe somewhere a little bit later on, but especially Russian Mission, since we were in and out of there so often, we were able to meet. I met Chad's mom, and she was telling us how, let me see if I can find the picture. This is the Yukon there on the Yukon River. But yeah, I met Chad's mom, and she was just saying how much it means to have people come into the village and be with the kids, because a lot of them come from their grandparents raised them or single parent households. It's very, well, maybe not very rare, but it's probably less common to have both parents in the house raising the kid. I'd say it's more on the rare side. A lot of them, they have a lot of relatives, so I'd say it's uncommon for them to leave the village, but it's also pretty uncommon for them to be living in the home with their parents. There are some good, stable families in Russian Mission, but yeah, a lot of them are raised by relatives. So she was saying how good it is to see people come in and really care about the kids and just want to hang out with them, spend time with them. The adults kind of, I guess the culture that way is the kids are kind of supposed to be out of sight, out of mind. You know, they don't talk when the elders are talking. So they said it's kind of weird to see people come in and just play and hang out with the kids, but it's really good to see that. So she was very thankful for our visit, and she wanted us to come back. So that was great to hear from her. This is our boat. So we were very busy just with paperwork and getting the barge landing all set up. So we were kind of just go, go, go all through Berry Camp and after Berry Camp. So this is one weekend. We finally got a little bit of breathing room, so we got out to one of the islands on the Yukon that's by camp. So we just got to hang out. There's raspberry bushes back there in the woods, so we got to pick some raspberries and just kind of relax and fellowship for an evening. So that was really good. So there's, again, that's Jonathan and Sharon and their two kids. And then that's Benji. So he's been up there for a long time, coming back and helping at Keiko. So he's more or less full-time now at Keiko, helping out. He's there now. And then this is kind of the rest of our team. That's Elisha, Adrian, Melody, Jamie, and myself.
Time of the year was this first?
I want to say late August. I think this was late August. Yeah. Yep. Now it's odd because August was pretty cold and rainy, and then September was back to sun, and that was pretty nice weather during September. And then after that, it's pretty much winter. So September is the last non-snow month. So that's the boat ride back to camp. There were lots of long
hours and days spent just sorting through paperwork and, because they're doing, right now they're doing the work of a secretary, they're doing the work of the president, they're doing the work of the CEO, like they are everything to keep camp running right now. So it was really good to just be able to get in there and just help sort stuff, help, you know, any unanswered emails, texts, calls, letters, stuff like that. Just get in there and really be able to help sort through some of the craziness that is keeping a nonprofit running throughout the year. But we were able to get in between long days of working on paperwork and working at the tank farm. We were able to get in some village runs while Adrian was there. So this is Marshall. And this is a missionary couple. And I'm forgetting their names. The Lewises, who are out there. And they're full-time in Marshall. And this is their little teen center that they have and a little chapel area. And they do, yeah, they're full-time missionaries out there. They just, this is, I think, a Wednesday night, like Bible study, songs. So they invited us to come and just hang out with the kids and sing some gospel songs. Not very good at piano, but it was a fun time to just get out there and kind of fiddle around, and the kids really enjoyed it. Singing some songs. But yeah, there's great need for volunteers and missionaries all over the YK Delta, which is that area. I mean, we were talking just during this time here, and John and Margaret are their names, John and Margaret Lewis. And they're like, oh, do you guys, you enjoy working in the villages? You want to come live here and be a missionary here? Because we really need people, and we got a guest house here, so you can come just stay. So it's not just Keiko, even though Keiko does need a lot of help. There's missions all over Alaska that are in need of volunteers and in need of help and support. This is on the plane ride, probably coming home from Marshall. There is camp. So during the summer, this would be about as dark as it would ever get during the summer. But as you get into August and September, you start getting actual nights. And then by the time I left, which was late October, it was getting dark pretty early. This is that one time. That's Chad's mom on the four-wheeler, and Jamie got the honor of driving her four-wheeler around a Russian mission. That was pretty cool. This is Pete. He was hanging on to the airplane while we were leaving. They were all asking if they could come in the cargo compartment or hang on to the wheels when they come back to Keiko with us. But we didn't take off with him like that. We wanted to. We wanted to take him home, but unfortunately, yeah, they had to stay. Now, during the winter time, it's actually good for the Russian mission kids. They can snow machine up to camp. Once the river freezes over, you can just go along the river and then up to the boat landing and up to camp. So some of them do come and stay for a couple days if the river is frozen over. So they have a little rec center to play games, and they have a pool table over there. So we just got to spend some time. Kids. And then we got to go to Bethel. This is the Bethel Covenant Church. Most of the area is very either Eastern Orthodox or Catholic, mostly Orthodox in the villages, and then you'll have a couple Catholic villages. The Covenant Church is probably, there's the Moravian Church as well. Moravians are less active there, but there are some Moravian churches out in the villages. And then Covenant Church is probably closest to what, closest in ideology and theology to what we are. So it was good to be able to go there. There's not, I don't think there's very many Covenant churches out in the villages, but the one in Bethel is pretty decent size. And they've sent campers to Keiko, and they've been supportive. We've had staff stay in the Covenant Church. If there's a flight missed or something, they're very hospitable towards us. And then we got to see some campers in Bethel, which was really nice. one of the ladies from the church who had been to Berry Camp let us, this is her van, so we were using that as transportation, and she gave us a really good native lunch, so we had lots of fish and berries and stuff, which was really cool to kind of get to hang out and fellowship with them for a little bit in Bethel. Then this is Tuluksak, which is a village close to Bethel. Very rainy, very muddy. That's their road, and there's just a big hole there with water. And but we had fun still. It's a good time there. I almost got stuck there overnight because the wind and the weather is so bad. It makes you thankful for the transportation we have because it's so weather dependent there. If it's raining, then you might get stuck out in the village and you have to find somewhere to sleep for the night or sleep in the plane. People have done that too. So that was a good time on Tuluksak. They're very clingy sometimes. It takes them about 10, 15 minutes maybe to warm up a little bit, and then they'll just be all over you for the rest of the time that you're there at camp or at their village. Somewhere in here is like the one bear that I saw this entire time, which I was a little disappointed in. And it's a black bear. It's not even a grizzly bear. Yes, we saw, this was like the one that we saw. So if you do decide to come and you're scared of bears, then just stay by me because I'm like bear repellent. I don't see very many bears, even though I want to. I've, in all my, like, what, 7 years of coming up to camp, I've maybe seen 3 or so bears. So not very many, and most of those from afar. This is, we got out to Hooper Bay, which is way on the other side of the map on the Bering Sea. That's not Hooper Bay. That's one of the, I think that's Chivok, which is on the way to Hooper Bay. But it's very flat out there, very lots of little lakes and everything. So that's the Bering Sea. And we got to see Erica, who is a native who has been connected with Keiko for a long time, and she got to show us this is the old village. So that's the little sod house remains from like before the Russian colonization. So that was really cool to see that. And this in the village is their primary mode of transportation, the four-wheeler. Sometimes they'll have cars and trucks and stuff like that. You got some wildlife. Lots of shells and stuff out there on the beach. And then we got to see some campers. So it's about an hour and a half flight one way out to Hooper Bay. So it's kind of far out there. And this I'd never been before. So it was good to see some of the kids because not many staff members get to go out all the way to Hooper Bay. This is Mountain Village, which is one of the last ones that we visited before. So Adrian and the rest of the team left, and then it was me and Benji and the Penzes pretty much for the rest of the time, which was about a month and a half. And so this is their last night before they left, and we had a Christmas party this time, which was fun. So Christmas in September, I guess that was. So September, starting to change colors, starting to get darker. This is cleaning out the tanks, so that was a huge part of what we did during this time because that's had lots of mud and dirt from the flooding. They had gotten all filled up, and then we had to clean them out before our deadline was that the barge was coming with the fuel, so we had to clean them out and make sure there wasn't dirt or silt in there, and that's pretty much the year's supply of fuel that was on the line there. That's some spruce chicken that we shot cooked out there on by the tanks. Finally got to see the Northern Lights after a long, long time waiting. Lots of this, all this debris, this used to be covered in trees, but the ice and the flooding and everything just took that out. So lots of trees moved and brush cleared. And then another big thing was getting House 8, had some fire damage from couple previous years, so we were fixing up the rafters there. Got that all drywalled and insulated. So that's kind of cutting the wood for the House 8 project. And this is right before, just maybe a week or so before I left, was the getting everything ready for the snow to come. So they just leave their snow machines out, they block them up, get them ready for the freeze, and then this was probably October, the first snow. Yeah, that's my birthday, so we had a little birthday party, and that was just probably a week before, a couple days before I left. That was cutting wood on the night before, so... Yep, that is my plane back. So I got to see, right before I left, the snow was starting. So I got there and there was still snow on the ground in like, May? And then all the way through summer, spring, fall, and then got to winter again. It snowed the day that I left. And then got to see little Teddy and Alyssa and Josh again on the way back from Palmer. And then that is, my mom and Camille were here for that night where we saw the really cool northern lights. So that was neat because I'll never get to see the northern lights because it's always daytime in the summertime. So staying after, it was really neat to be able to see those. And then that was Palmer just right before leaving. So just again, thank you so much for your support. Your prayers, financial support, during all those months of where it was just, I guess, the six of us in camp. It really meant a lot to receive your encouragement because it can get really kind of cabin fever-ish, especially when the snow starts to fall and you're out there just all alone. And knowing you have a support network back home who's praying for you and thinking of you and helping you out is just amazing, and it's hopefully the updates were timely enough, and you got to kind of come along on the journey a little bit as we lived through it. But thank you again, just so much for supporting, and hope to have some more updates, I guess, sooner rather than later. I will be going up in February from the 19th, just for a couple weeks we'll get out to see some villages, we'll go to Russian Mission, and then also just a plan for this coming summer because of the change of leadership and everything. It's going to be a pretty big deal, so we'll be planning for that while I'm up there, and then planning to be there for next summer camp as well. So any questions about any of this stuff? I know that's a lot of information we covered, but thank you for bearing with me. I think it is about... Pollock time. I can smell the food already. It smells good.
Yeah. Does Curtis, thank you for that. As much as I've heard about the Pences and others that are in the out of the way areas saying somehow your presentation may be appreciated and enter in a little closer with them, and that thank you for that. Let's close in prayer.
And as we do, thank you for those people.
Father, we thank you for the connection that you've given us to this particular area of your creation, these individuals, these people groups that are made in the image of God, that have souls that will spend eternity in one place or another. And we thank you that there are people who have come to faith in you. They're bearing a gospel witness in this area. And we ask, Father, for your great mercy in their lives and for your grace in their lives, even now as they're in the middle of their winter, and cases like the Pences, the Lewises, and others, there's a sense of isolation and being cut off. And what a need for the encouragement of your Spirit and the very practical encouragement that come from members of your family. And we pray that you would stir that up and you would fulfill that in their hearts and lives. And the bigger picture, Father, of having a clear gospel witness throughout this area, so many small villages with very little in them, and yet there are new avenues through the internet, through digital presentations and the rest. We pray for your help and creativity, and Lord, that you would bless your word, that it would bring forth much fruit in an area that's been held far too long by the enemy. We thank you for Curtis. Thank you that you took him there and you brought him back safely, and for the experience, the life experience. And we pray for your direction in his life as he goes on from here, to give him clear guidance in that regard. But now, Lord, as we finish the service together, we thank you that you are our God, that the one that we began thinking about through your word is the one who is here waiting for us as we come to this moment in time for us, and walks with us through all of our life and is there with us for all eternity. So now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be honor and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. May we say it together. Amen and amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.